Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, flying solo. So the Warriors, they lost to the Denver Nuggets in Denver 108-105, and they're now 6-3, 5-2 on the road. And you know what? I am okay because one thing that being a fan of a dynasty team that has won 4 titles and seeing them go through the highest of highs and the lowest of lows is that you know that the season is a process. It's a long one. And the goals are not to win every game, although that would be amazing and nice. But we've seen what happens when you win 73 games. But the goals are to be healthy come playoff time, to be peaking come playoff time, and to get the young dudes and the new guys used to the bright lights, the prime time, all that stuff, the pressure, so that they can help this team win. Yes, being high up in the standings is important, right? That's really, really important. You want the Warriors to be, hey, top three, that'd be great. But it's never been about getting that number one seed in the past few years because we know this team can win on the road, right? So seeing them compete is what we're really, really looking at because, you know, we don't want to talk about last season. No one wants to talk about last season. Players, the coaches, I'm done talking about it, whatever. But if they'd gotten down in a game like this last season, they wouldn't have been able to come back, right? Or they would have tripped over themselves and they wouldn't have had the fortitude, the will, the cohesion, the chemistry to come back. But now they do. And last season was the aberration, and now we are seeing them being themselves again, albeit with a different cast of characters in some respects. So I'm encouraged. And it's a tough loss, but they came back, they were in it, they were up, they were down, and they had a perfect chance to win at the end. I give Steph props for going for the two because a lot of times the philosophy is on the road, go for the win, and then take your chances. But Steph, he was like, I'll play another 5, confident that they could win in overtime or whatever. But he just missed kind of badly, but it is what it is. Went out of bounds. Klay couldn't get the shot off after the missed Reggie Jackson free throw. And so it is what it is, but all good. You know what I mean? All good. I'm liking what I'm seeing from this team. And, you know, a lot of people talk about Chris Paul's shooting lately and Andrew Wiggins' poor play. Yeah, I mean, sure, those are concerning. But at the end of the day, we know, you assume, that everything will trend back to their averages, right? It all go back to the mean. And even if Chris Paul doesn't shoot as well, the 36-37% he shot from 3 in his career, and even if Wiggins' numbers are a little less than they have been the last couple of years, then, hey, you know, they're winning now, and that will still be likely okay, assuming guys are overall healthy. So everything is trending in a positive direction, and I mean, it's a good product to see on the court, right? Last season, if you just want to talk about basketball and entertainment as a product, it was garbage. We deluded ourselves that they were going to turn it around, but, you know, obviously it wasn't going to happen. But this is something that we could really, really hang our hats on, this team, and how they're just going about all their business. I do want to say that I'm impressed by this bench. Once again, I've said since day one that the bench minutes are going to be the most interesting thing for me because I like to see a team like this evolve and seeing those guys, you know, Chris Paul, Dario Saric work their chemistry, even though Saric started in this one, but seeing like Trayce Jackson-Davis, Kuminga, Moses Moody, even Podziemski with Gary Payton II out, seeing them actually contribute solid minutes. I mean, these are all positives, right? All these minutes that these guys are getting on the road. I mean, usually rookies, we all assume that they were going to be in Santa Cruz for a stretch, right? When you're on the road. And then when they're back in the Bay at home, that's when they, you know, show up with the big league club. But no, they've been on the road and they're contributing. And you love to see that. So in this one, the Warriors are missing Draymond and Gary Payton, but the Nuggets were missing Jamal Murray. So it is what it is, but in this one, all the starters, including Dario Saric, replacing Dre, they were all minus in the plus-minus, and all the bench guys were pluses, right? Like, I don't know if I've seen that with the Warriors, I mean, in a long time, but minus, you know, Darius Arch, Looney, Wiggins, Steph, Klay Thompson, and then Kuminga, Jackson Davis, CP3, Moody, Pajemski, all on the plus side. And that's good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sitting here trying to just have moral victories or whatever like that, or look on the bright side, but this is real. This is the process of this whole season. And I'm very, very much encouraged about what I'm seeing. Another effect of Jordan Poole getting moved is that Moses Moody steps into that backup shooting guard slot. And we know that he's needed more minutes, and you're seeing the benefits of that. Again, I've talked about how he's not the most athletic player. You guys have seen that. We all know that. But he's a heady dude, and he tries to do the right thing all the time. And he was solid in this one. He's getting closing minutes for the Warriors, and that's another thing. A lot of these guys on this team can close, depending on the matchups, depending on who's hot and who's playing well. So that is a plus. I remember thinking before the Warriors playoff run, when they won the title against the Celtics, before the playoff run, looking at Wiggins and Moody and Poole, I was like, hey, you know, one of those guys is going to have to get moved because Moody is going to be coming soon. And when you have Moody stepping up, you have Chris Paul playing that backup point guard role, second unit point guard role, that very much fills the gap in a lot of ways. Somebody on the Oakland Warriors Discord asked whether or not the Warriors could become a top five defense again. I don't know. Partly because they're pretty old, and I don't know if they can consistently bring that effort every single game, and there will be injuries per se, but they were like at the pretty much the bottom last season. So you want to see them climb up, and you also assume that some of the younger guys like Kuminga, Moody, Trayce Jackson-Davis, whatever, that they'll be more solid as the season goes on. But the one thing that could make it possible is legit, their top 10 guys all value and play hard on defense. And that is all you can really ask for. Yes, you look at the starters, and Klay is not what he used to be. Steph, he has always been questioned for his defense, but you know he plays hard. And you know he's stronger, and he's good. He's good on defense. And then you look at the second unit. You got Kuminga. You got Chris Paul, who's older, but always been tough as nails on defense. Saric, he fights. He fights, right? He's not just sitting there, like, taking it. And then you got Gary Payton II and Moses Moody. So all those guys can play defense pretty well. So right now I think they're, like, in the middle of the NBA in terms of defensive rating in this early season, but I do believe that they could trend upwards. I don't know if they will get to top five, but who knows? Who knows? You know, I would love to see that. I would love to see just top 10, top seven, of course. In terms of the second unit, the potential of it is pretty high, obviously, because you have the young dudes who can excel at their own rates, but it's up there. It's up there. I said over the summer that this team is probably going to be better than the last finals team, but every other team looks to have improved from then as well. They're all better from then. But, you know, the second unit, it might not be the best Warriors second unit yet, because that first finals team, I mean, you basically had a bunch of starters coming off the bench with, like, David Lee, Leandro Barbosa, Sean Livingston, Andre Iguodala. I mean, throwing Maurice Spates or Festus Ezeli in that, you know what I mean? And then the first Kevin Durant team, maybe in the second one too, with like David West, Livingston, Iguodala, you know, those guys, that was still pretty good. The one from a couple years ago wasn't as deep, right? Legitimately, the Warriors, I feel good about like 10, 11 guys, maybe 12 actually, if you include the rookies now, right? So I don't know if 2 years ago that was true, because you went deep with Gary Payton II, Bielitsa, Otto Porter Jr., Andre Iguodala, Damian Lee, Juan Toscano-Anderson. Maybe there's somebody else I'm forgetting, but like, I like this unit overall, top to bottom. So it has potential, especially because, like I said, there's those young dudes who could surprise and hopefully do as the season goes on. Anyway, like I said, I'm just happy to see a team that, you know, plays together and plays with that joy, even in a losing effort. I said all last season, second half of the season, it just felt that the Warriors played with like fake joy. They were trying to manufacture that joy. If you remember, I looked up this game when the Warriors dropped 20 three-pointers at home against the OKC Thunder last year, and everybody was spazzing and happy and, like, you know, chest bumping and jumping into each other, all that stuff. And that's great. And that was fine and dandy. But the one thing I remember about that is that it just felt false. You know, it felt like there was something that wasn't real there. And 20 three-pointers is amazing, but it was just like one of those things like, oh, that's nice. You know, that's great. And the energy, the competition, the ability to enjoy playing with each other, you just didn't feel it, but you feel it now. You know, you feel guys rooting for each other. You feel guys that are, you know, that they have confidence in each other, that they know how to play basketball, and that points to the young guys especially. But like I said, the Warriors are 6-3. That's fine. They got a tough road schedule to start the season. They go back home to play the Cavs. That'll be interesting. And the most important thing is that they're 5-2 on the road. Like, what? What? I mean, that's a road record that we're used to with the Warriors. So you take it and you're like, great. You know what I mean? Phil Jackson used to say, I've talked about this before, that you want to come back 4-3. You know what I mean? This wasn't a full-on road trip. There was that one home win against the Kings. With this team, they basically went 5-2. That's even better. You want to come out ahead, and they've done that. They've done their job. So you move on from there. All right. That's all I got now. All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time, and go Dubs.